When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
You can't win anything with kids.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
That's a space down.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Five. On this week's show, we'll be talking about the biggest flops in the 90s. I mean, what makes a flop, first of all? What does everyone think makes a flop?
I think a flop, generally, is a player that's played well, either internationally or for another club. They've got a good reputation, and the club that signs him for normally a decent fee, in this day and age, it'd be a lot of money. They come to the Premier League or any other league in Europe, and they don't deliver. I think that's what is a flop. Players that are unknown, like gambles, I don't really class them as flops. I'd say a flop is someone that's done the business somewhere else, comes to your club or another club that you know of, and basically it's crap. So I don't know what you guys think. That's my interpretation of a flop.
I agree with that. I think you're right. I think if you're paying money for someone who's got a bit of a history, comes in and just doesn't perform, then yeah, you're a flop. Holland, would you go along with that?
Yeah, I would agree that Man United signed many of them.
Really?
It's a bit early for the Man United.
There.
I'm going straight for the throat here. Let's go.
Cover Diarra, Glenn Helder, Stefan Moltz, David Suka. Should I carry on?
It's creeping into the 2000s. I know it's not, you know, it's frowned upon. Francis Jeffers. Francis Jeffers was a starlet in the under-21s, England under-21s. He meant to be the next big thing. He'd done all right for Everton. Arsenal signed him. He was duff. So he's one I can remember roughly off the top of my head.
They called him Dave Fox in the Box. Is that what his nickname was or something?
Well, if he was a Fox in the Box, it was a dead one.
he was at Everton, wasn't he? That's the thing. He was. He looked good at Everton. He looked like the next prospect before Rooney came on the scene. So it's only when he went to Arsenal we did flop, didn't he? You know.
Yeah. So would you class Francis Jeffers as a flop? Probably yes.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Like how you said, Dave. Like it wasn't. Was it a gamble? Because he's come up through the youth system. So no one's, apart from Arsenal investing in him, obviously, it's not like he's done it in every league. I know he's probably got a good youth record, but...
What was his transfer fee, do you know?
8 million we paid for him, which...
definitely a flop then.
Yeah, the thing is, Everton fans would remember him at Everton, and he was all right at Everton, so they're not going to class him as a flop. I can only class him at my club, or people that, you know, neutrals will class him. I remember him at Arsenal, flop. Everton, he probably wasn't. There's another, for instance, Chris Sutton. Now, Chris Sutton banged goals at Norwich, went to Chelsea, scored one goal, got shipped to Celtic. Yes, he was amazing at Blackburn. He was amazing at Norwich. But you remember him at Chelsea, you class him as a flop.
Sutton, I don't know why it didn't work out for him. I don't know how you can go from scoring. It's just weird how you can go from scoring goals, you know, quite consistently to going to a club and just being absolutely. They sold him for 6 million.
Systems as well, don't it?
It's definitely.
There's a load of factors in it. Some places you go, it just clicks. Other places you go, and it just ain't happening.
Obviously, some clubs do certain training. Obviously, different. Some might run all fucking day. Some might not. Some might take a few more hours on tactical play. We just don't know. Obviously, we don't know.
What about everyone remember Kevin Davies when he signed for Blackburn, $7.5 million at the time. He was showing quite a lot of promise. And then 98 Blackburn broke the transfer record to sign him, and they paid £7.5 million, and it was 10 times what Southampton had paid for him just 12 months earlier. And he scored one goal, and then they got relegated and went back to Southampton in a player swap.
Well, what I can remember of Kevin Davies is the reason why he, I think he got a big deal was because I'm pretty sure that Chesterfield got to like the semi-finals of the FA Cup one year. And he was pretty much spearheading that attack. Off the back of that. But I'm looking at his record for Chesterfield, 129 appearances, 22 goals. But then Southampton signed him and he had 25 appearances and scored 9 league goals. So that ain't bad coming from Chesterfield to Southampton. But obviously when he went to Blackburn, yeah, 23 appearances, 1 goal, dire.
See, the thing is with that, is that the same with, well, now Jeffers, you didn't really hear anything more of him after Arsenal, but Kevin Davies ended up being good at Blackburn, Bolton, sorry. Got England, he got one England cap while he was there. So what he'd done for Bolton was good. So overall, I wouldn't class him as a flop, but I would class him as a flop during that move at that period, because I think he came good after that when he was at Bolton. You know, for what he'd done for the team, for the way that Allardyce wanted him to play. Kevin Davies, I wouldn't have classed him as a flop when he was there, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Graham, I'll bring you in. What are flops? Anyone to add to that list so far? Or anything
else? Well, yeah, there's quite a few in there, really. I mean, if going back to stick with the 90s, I mean, in Euro 92, one of the best players in the tournament was Thomas Brolin. Technically, very good. I'm not saying he was world class, but technically, very good. And it wasn't just for Sweden, it was for Parma as well. Came to Leeds with a big reputation, probably one of the best, on reputation, one of the best foreigners to sign in the Premier League at that time. Just didn't work, did it? Just didn't happen for some reason. He went on to Palace, maybe to revive his career. It got worse. He didn't make him better at all. He put on a lot of weight. He went missing. You know, very disappointing. USA 94 is another one, a massive tournament. You have players like Daniel Amakachi, Florin Radichoyu, Didier Mitrescu. They had a fantastic tournament, especially Amakachi. Let me talk about Amakachi for a bit. He was in the Nigerian side. No one was expecting anything of Nigeria in USA 94. He was up front with Yakini and I can't remember the other guy, Amakini or something. I can't remember. Viewers might know. There was three of them. He was nicknamed the Black Ball and the Black Train. Mate, he had so much pace. He was powerful, strong physically, so dangerous. He had a fantastic World Cup. Scored a couple of goals. Everton bought him from Club Bruges. And it just never worked out. I mean, we've talked in the past about that, especially Holland. He's talked about big, powerful strikers in the Premier League. I mean, Amakachi and Big Dunk up front and the 4-4-2, how that's never worked. You know, I don't know. It's just, like we say, mate, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the weird thing about Amakachi, he's actually a cult hero at Everton for doing fuck all. The weird thing is he scored 2 goals in a cup semi-final, knocked Spurs out. The best thing about that, he subbed himself on. That was like the main thing. He apparently subbed himself on. Joe Royle went absolutely ballistic at him. He won them the game, got them to the final, ended up beating Man United. And then Joe Royle came out with a statement, it was the best sub he ever made, and he didn't even make it. But yeah, then he's the one that stands out a lot for me, Amakachi. What about you guys?
There's a running theme here. They're all forwards. I think because the focus is on you as a striker and it's your sole job is to score goals, so your record can be kept. Whereas in defence, you do get flops. But in defence, you've got a team of, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 other players around you that can recover and cover your positions. For me, Pobolski was one for United. We signed Karol Pobolski off the back of Euro 96. Only played 17 times for United. But then Beckham was coming through. So that's a big amount of pressure to have when you've got David Beckham on the right, who was getting better and better every week. And then Karol Pobolski came in. So it was only £3.5 million, which is, you know, 96, still a decent transfer fee. I don't know if we got the time to call him a flop or not. And he was kind of a winger.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say, Paul, sorry to butt in, I was just going to say, I wouldn't have called him a flop. I thought he'd done okay. But do you reckon that's because of the trophies Man United won and the team he was in that sort of like papered over the cracks? Do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, he never had I can't remember, as I said, when you play 17 games, it's quite harsh to go, oh, he's a flop. Because you haven't seen enough of him to warrant whether he is a flop or not.
Ah, yeah, but you can judge him on what they've done, though, can't you?
Yeah, but
in those 17 games.
But then I would have probably, I don't know facts, but I would suggest that there's 17 games, he might have won 16 of them. So
yeah,
I think,
them games that they won is probably because you had that world-class left winger, Giggs.
This is a recurring theme, isn't it?
You know, you mentioned just saying that all these flops seems to be attackers. Yeah, I pretty much believe that. Obviously, because strikers, you pay a lot of money for, like they're getting goals in previous seasons. So, and if they don't deliver straight away, that they're classed as a flop. But I've written down two flops because obviously what I was going to ask everyone is like to name two flops from the team that you support. So obviously Holland, Arsenal, Graham, Fulham, yourself, Man United, Adam with a QPR. And I've picked two QPR players who I thought in the 90s were flops. They both happen to be strikers, funny enough. So the first one I go with is Mike Sherin. He signed for a lot of money like in the 90s. And for me, he just never, ever really got going at Rangers. Like, he's got a few goals. But for me, I think he was a flop. My second striker is Chris Kiwomya. I think he came to us on the back of Francis Jeffers signing for Arsenal. And basically, he was pony, man. Like, everyone thought, oh my God, we've got an Arsenal striker. Well, we're gonna win the league. Like, we can't go wrong. Crap. I don't know how your thoughts on those two players, but obviously comment and then like would name the two players that you thought signed for your club that were absolutely.
Chris Kiwomya was decent at Ipswich only. I don't know what happened there.
that's why Arsenal bought him.
What about flops for Fulham, Dave? Anyone comes to mind? Any two players?
Well, you put me on a spot a bit there with the Fulham players. The only one that stands out for me, obviously, it's not in the 90s because we were in the old second and third division, so a lot of the players were flops. That's unfair, really, because we did get promoted. But just going into the 90s, to the noughties, sorry, when we was playing Loftus Road, it have to be Steve Marley that we signed from Lyon.
11
we signed a contract because sorry?
11 and a half million you paid for him.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was double figures, and it was supposed to be the next best thing in France. I remember he used to play. I mean, I used to go all the time in home and away. He had one good game in 10. And when he played a good game, he did play a good game, to be fair. But for what we paid for him at that time, it just wasn't good enough. We had a guy called Francois Keller that was the brother of Mark Keller at West Ham. He was supposed to be betting in his brother, but I don't think Mark Keller was much good at West Ham. So I can't say I was going to be betting his brother. But now, at the top of my head, it'd be Steve Marley for me, for Fulham. Yeah, he wasn't worth what we paid for him. So I think Dave's next with his Arsenal flops, I think, isn't he?
Well, that's going to be a long list. Keep it short, Dave. We all want to get home soon.
I've already done Franny Jeffers. I think Harper mentioned the bloke the other week, Christopher Ray. He was another stinker. And I think Lee Harper mentioned this fella as well, Oleg Lundsny. Oh, stinking out the place. The list is endless. Wenger brought in some class, but he did have a few stinkers. Talking about me spending all night, Paul, I'm waiting to hear your list of what you're going to rattle off. Massimo Taibbi, all these other clowns.
He's got to be top, isn't he?
The thing is with Taibbi, I think he was very harshly treated at United. If you go and watch, I think he played four games, and the game before, again, the game was Liverpool, he got man of the match the week before. He was really good in that game, and he wasn't too bad in the games prior. It was the Southampton game that he just, and bear in mind, we had Bosnich at the time. He was shit. So at the time, we had two very shit goalkeepers. And Taibbi came in to kind of apply some pressure. He started off quite well. I think he kept the clean sheet in his first game. And then obviously, all he's known for now is the Southampton goal with Letizia going through his legs, which is a massive howler, of course it is. And that ruined his confidence. And Ferguson just never played him again and shipped him out. But we paid £4.5 million for him. I don't know.
Get rid of him. Sorry, Paul. To get rid of him after four games, Fergie must have known, even in training, he must have thought, this guy ain't for me.
To be fair, sorry, Graham. You look at Alisson at Liverpool recently. He's hit a few howlers. Like, I never know worse than that one that old Taibbi slipped through his legs. I know football's played differently now, and the goalkeepers are taking some chances because they're playing out from the back. So things aren't going to happen. But that Alisson, he made about three, four howlers in straight weeks. Didn't he?
I reckon Fergie must have thought he might cost Man United the league or something. Because four games for Fergie to get rid of him, it's a bit quick, isn't it? Let's be fair, lads.
Well, that's
four games. You just only bought him.
We're talking about flops, and obviously we've said we name a lot of strikers, but I think Man United, that is one place they really struggled with for flops, was goalkeepers.
Mm.
But throughout, from not just the 90s, obviously the noughties, and they've bought a lot of crap.
Yeah,
it's one place that they struggled with. I don't even think De Gea is that great.
It's like, not what he was, is he?
No. I think goalkeepers now start so young, they don't get a chance at such a high level to make mistakes. So therefore, you can't make a mistake in a game. A striker can miss seven chances, score the eighth and win 1-0, and no one remembers the seven that he missed. A goalkeeper makes one mistake, goes to the back and loses. They lose 1-0. Everyone's talking about that mistake. At United, we had Ben Foster, at the time, was seen as the best young goalkeeper in England. He came and he struggled. I think a few mistakes he went. Roy Carroll, young goalkeeper again. Then we had Barthez, who was just eccentric. Bosnich, who we signed, who again was decent at Villa, but had lots of personal problems. Taibbi came in. We have. And then obviously we've got Valdez. But we found Van der Sar, and obviously Van der Sar was the answer. We should have never let him go to Fulham. We should have signed him from Juventus straight off the bat. But, you know, we did struggle. And it is, but again, I think strikers and goalkeepers are two positions that you can become a flop very quickly, because they are the two areas of the pitch that lead to goals or scoring goals. So I don't know if, as I was saying, goalkeepers start at young age now. So De Gea came to United at 19 and was straight into the team at Man United winning trophies. And he had made mistakes and everyone was like, oh, he's not going to be good enough. At 19, you're not even learning your trade yet. You're not at the lower leagues and building you up. You look at Nigel Martin and Pressman and players like that years ago who have built their way up. And you wouldn't start really at the top level until mid-20s. And goalkeepers peak, I think, twice in a career. They peak around 28, where they look fantastic. 28 to maybe 32. And then between 32 and 30, and Van der Sar did it, between 32 and 34, they have a little bit of a downward spiral, and then they have another two or three seasons at the back end of their career. So it's a difficult one to throw in. So he would be the flop based on, I think, everyone sees him as a flop. And mentioning Karol Pawlowski, and then you've got the biggest flop for me in that period was Jordi Cruyff, when we signed old Jordi, because he was shit and he was a midfielder. He came with all his expectations, and I don't think I've ever seen a worse player put on the United shirt, if I'm honest.
I think his reputation came with his surname, Paul, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, agreed.
He ain't going to live up to his old man.
Well, it's a big job to live up
to.
Yeah,
exactly.
But again, so there's some... I mean, what about Stephen Guivache? Obviously, you mentioned our France 98 special, and a few other times his name's come up. He went to Newcastle for $3.5 million.
That was weird. I mentioned that because Lee mentioned that, didn't he, in the World Cup episode. And I mentioned that he played for Glasgow Rangers as well. The weird thing was, though, he came with a good reputation, didn't he? Because he was like the top goal scorer in Ligue 1 for two seasons on the trot. It's like, come to the Premiership and what happened?
Well, he played in all France's World Cup. He played in every single game, right? And he went to Newcastle and it just never happened.
No. There's a flop now I'm going to mention during the 90s that started off one of the best players in European football and became a flop. And then ended up being one of the best players we've ever seen in the world. It was Thierry Henry. Does anyone know where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. At Monaco in the Champions League, he was the right-sided midfielder, wasn't he? He set, well, not the world, he set Europe on fire that season. He got his big move to Juventus. I think they paid double figures for him. I haven't got the stats in front of me. I know he played 18, 19 games or something, scored a couple of goals. But when we were talking earlier about when a player goes to another club with a big reputation and they've paid a lot of money for him and they don't do the business, their class is a flop. And I think Thierry Henry then was a flop. Whatever the reason, there was reasons going around that he wasn't settled. He didn't like the Italian defenders were too tight on him. The manager at the time expected more of him, etc. Whatever it was, he went to Juventus, he didn't deliver and he flopped. And I think when you talk about this is the thing, people don't talk about it because they sugarcoat Thierry Henry because of what he's become. But that's the spell he had at Juventus, he didn't perform, he flopped. But he went to Arsenal, he was given a chance, he didn't score in his first six or seven games, and the rest is history. He's probably one of the best players to ever grace the game. But that period at Juventus, he wasn't successful and he was a flop. I just wanted to say nothing against the guy, it was crap, he's rubbish.
Him being a flop for Juventus worked into Arsenal's hands, so we got him on the cheap. Well, I think it was 10 million or something, got him on. Something silly like that.
You got him for a bargain, I think, Dave.
Yeah.
But at that time, go on.
No, go on, mate, you carry on.
No, I was going to say, at that time, we're saying about you can't judge a player on four games, seven games, etc. The time he was there, he just didn't perform at all. From what he was at Monaco, and he had that great World Cup in France, it just didn't happen for him, you know? So when you talk about flops, you don't necessarily talk about Thierry Henry, but in my opinion, it was a flop.
No, it's interesting. I mean, you've got to have a plan. I mean, West Ham at the time, I'll just back into some, you know, with flops there, Paulo Futre, Bernard Lama, Javier Marguez.
How about Danny? Remember Danny, Dave?
Yeah, Danny, yeah.
Again, as we went to start at the beginning, what was everyone's opinion of what a flop is? If you're signing someone for £2 million from Espanyol, is he going to be a flop or not? It's difficult to know because it's an unknown player coming to a brand new league. And you do get players that come in and they hit the ground running. I was listening to Rio's podcast the other week, and it's a known fact, again, coming out of the noughties, but when Evra and Vidic came, and I remember their debut against Man City, and they were poor. They were awful, and they both got hooked at half-time. I remember Rio saying on the podcast last week, he was like, what have they signed here? These two, they're not very good, you know, and then obviously the rest is history. So I think it's also the case that we're very quick to judge someone being a flop. We almost go, well, he hasn't done it instantly. You forget, you know, if you change Holland, if you change jobs, or Graham, or any of you, if you go from one company and your job is one position, and they go, right, you're going to do your job, but you're going to go to Germany now, where no one speaks the language. We do it differently here. You take time to adapt. You're not going to go in there and implement all your changes straight away. You've got to either learn the language or learn to understand what they're saying. And I think we just because they're footballers and paid loads of money and there's massive fees, we're very quick to go, oh, he's shit, he's flop. I know, I'm not having that. But it's like, well, hold on. It takes a bit of time to adapt to all these new changes that are going from moving from one club to the other.
Well, just going back to what you said about the foreign players coming in, like they get fit. Well, I'm going to use this season. I know this is a 90s podcast, but Kai Havertz, for example, who's just signed for Chelsea. He's not even played half a season. He's played half a season. And they're already saying he's a flop, right? Like, I was listening to someone say that, like, obviously, this day and age now, he's come over from Germany. Like, we're in the lockdown. You can't go out. You can't
socialize. Plus his family.
Yeah, you can't do fuck all. And all the media are already labeling him a flop, which I think is a bit harsh on a young kid, really. So I agree with exactly what you just said.
Yeah. There. So, Paul, I agree with everything you said there, mate. So, do you think all those players you've mentioned since the start of the episode, is it fair to call them all flops, or do we class them as just didn't do it? Because flops is a term, isn't it, that everybody in the football game uses, not just in football, but I suppose in any sports. Would you call them flops? I mean, would you compare, I don't know, like I mentioned Thierry Henry, would you compare Danny Namakachi to Thierry Henry? Technically, no. But are they both in the same bracket, i.e. flops, or are they both in the same bracket as they didn't do it at that club? You know what I mean?
I think you have to look at their career. And if
the,
you look
the terminology, at, mate, the terminology. Well, forget it. About them as technical players. No, terminology fine. I'm on about.
Look at Thomas Brolin, okay? Came into...
Brolin, yeah, go on.
£4.5 million, came in overweight, was unfit, whether you're personal...
He didn't come in overweight.
Sorry, again?
He didn't come in overweight, mate. He came in straight from Parma, didn't he? He became overweight. He became player.
No, so he came fourth in the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, exactly. Just, he didn't come in like that. He just didn't have him from at Leeds.
He didn't try. Okay, well, he wasn't match fit when, you know, halfway through the season. His form was absolutely shocking. He had managed, rows with the manager. He got sent off out on loan at the end of the season, went back and carried on with a war, and his fitness got even worse. And then the club terminated his contract. They terminated, not sold him or they terminated it. So he must have been quite in a bad place for that to happen. That is what I would call a flop. Who's someone who's been there for more than a season, who doesn't show the professional, you know, now to actually want to play football for the club that are paying his wages. That's a flop. Chris Sutton, Kevin Davies, Karol Pawlowski, and players like that. I don't like the word flop because I think it's too flippant. Yes, it didn't work out.
It's insulting to an extent, isn't it? Really?
It is.
Because they're professional footballers.
Yeah, I think if you go from... And this is what I was saying on a WhatsApp chat we've all had about... I was very different opinion to everyone else about... I said you can't be world-class at 18 or 19. And I think Lee and Miller, maybe everyone disagreed with me. And I think this is a key example why you can't be classed as world-class at that age. I know Mbappe is used as a against me on that one, and that's fine. We can chalk that off as maybe a separate issue. But generally... You've got to build a career to be world class. You've got to get five or six consistent seasons. Chris Sutton had loads of seasons behind him, scoring goals, scoring goals, scoring goals. Went to Chelsea, didn't work out. Went to Celtic, scored goals again. So, no, he's not a flop. It just didn't work out for him. And as Lee said, tactically, the training methods, the style of play, does he get on with his teammates? Was there something in his personal life? The move to London, maybe it wasn't for him. He's up from up north, or not north, but that area, Norwich and places in Blackburn. These are all factors that come in. And again, we just detach ourselves thinking, oh, well, you know, they're footballers, so they should just get on with it. They get paid loads of money to do a job. But again, if I pick you, Harper, up and I take you from your job now and put you into, I don't know, the in Spain and go do the same job there with these people who don't speak English, would you struggle to adapt? But then if I then take you back and go, right, go back into, but I'm going to put you into Leeds when you come back, you go there.
I'm not even good at my job here, mate, let alone fucking Spain.
All Lee does is build wardrobes. You can do that in any country.
But you get my point.
Yeah, I get your point. Paul, here's one for you. Fernando Torres, I know we're going a little bit off. He was amazing at Liverpool. 50 million to Chelsea was crap. Now, is his legacy remembered as being amazing at Liverpool, great player, or is he remembered as a flop?
But once he left Liverpool, his career died off. He went to Atletico Madrid, didn't do it.
Can you defend Jemba Jemba?
No, I can't. No.
Is that the so good that they did twice?
No. Yeah. You can't defend Cleverson?
No.
Can you defend David Bellion?
No.
All right, well, I've run out of flops now. Anyone else remember any Man United?
William Prunier,
another one. But yeah, so I think it's
what let's is move a flop? On, yeah.
It's very difficult to tell what's a flop. Florent Ratatouille.
He was a player that had a great World Cup again in USA 94. I remember him from old as well, because that was the first World Cup I actually watched. We were still at primary school then, but going into high school. And he did look the complete striker. You had him and Dimitrescu up front with Hadji behind. They were a surprise package of the World Cup. Obviously came to West Ham, Paul, and I can't remember how much they paid for him.
2.5 million. 2.4 million they paid from Espanyol. Yeah.
There was a story about they played Stockport in a FA Cup game away from home, and he went shopping at Harvey Nicks because he didn't want to travel north.
Redknapp pulls him in with his foreign army of players, and he scored, I think, after 3 goals in 12 first team appearances, was sent back to Spain 6 months later for 1.7 million. So again, it was 6 months. So was he a flop? I don't know, because in 6 months, how is that enough time to say he's a flop? I think the West Ham fans, he was a flop for 2.4 million.
And then I think Harvey Nicks' profits went down that year he left. But.
And then you got anyone remember Margas for West Ham as well? Javier Margas?
He used to play for Chile, yeah.
Yeah, so West Ham signed him again after a World Cup in 98. So they signed him. When they signed him, he disappeared without a trace. So they signed him and they couldn't get hold of him. And then he returned to say how loyal he would be by dyeing his hair claret and blue. And he was pleading, saying, "No, I'm back. I'm playing. I'm West Ham. He was there for 3 years. But let's move on. I think that's a flop in terms of the 90s. There's a lot more you can go on. If anyone's got any, please hit us up on our Instagram page, and anyone we missed out. But I think in that period, they're the big names I think we've covered there.
It's Lee's 11.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to start with the goalkeeper, obviously. So I've picked Massimo Chiavi in that, believe it or not.
Sure.
Because of the most memorable goal, Letizia and stuff like that. And he was signed for 4.5 million and it never really worked out for him. But I will mention another goalkeeper, which was a bit of a weird signing. Bernard Lama signed for West Ham in 1998. So it was a close one between those two because it didn't really go out for him. But I went for Taibbi. So I've gone for a 4-3-3. I'll start with my right back, Mark Hottinger. He's a Swiss international. He signed for Newcastle in 1994 for 500k, which was quite a bit of money back in them days. Never really got going at Newcastle. He then signed for Everton, where he was awful. Everton players have made him one of the biggest flops in their Premier League 11 ever. He then signed for his hometown the year after, for 25k. So within the space of 2 years, he's gone from £500,000 to 25 grand.
Well, from Premier League to Conference League, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah. So he's made my right back. My left back, he's signed for Spurs, Paolo Tramezzini.
Oh, yeah, he was terrible, wasn't he?
The Italian guy, yeah. So they signed him for 1.5 million in 1998. He only made 7 appearances in 2 years, although he did score on his debut against Peterborough in a friendly. But I think Spurs fans would agree he was shit. 2 centre-backs. We mentioned Margas. He was brilliant for Chile.
But shit for West Ham, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. He was amazing. And then, he dyed his hair. I think his wife, I read that his wife was unhappy. She used to cry every day. And then one day, yeah, he just never turned up for training. And that was it. He just disappeared. I've gone for QPR fans. We'll remember this player. Ned Zelic. So we signed him from Borussia Dortmund for £1 million. That which is quite a lot of money. But I think he played four times for us. He said that he couldn't play on grass. It hurt his knees or something. I think that was the excuse that he gave.
That's amazing.
He can't.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, so that was a bit iffy, that, didn't it?
Amongst some other centre backs, I did have Ramon Vega in there. He was back up, as Tottenham fans will know, he wasn't much cop. And I also had William Prunier. I don't know if you remember him, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically had two trial matches with Man United. But...
Paul's not saying a lot about him, is he? He's keeping very quiet on the Prunier front.
Yeah,
you noticed?
Yeah.
Paul don't talk about any Man United flops. Have you noticed that? I tried to bring him out with the Jemba Jemba, and he's like, he's just agreed. It's amazing for him. He disagrees with everything.
Right, so moving on into my midfield, I've got Thomas Brolin, who has been mentioned. Like Dave Graham said, he signed for £4.5 million. He came fourth in the Ballon d'Or that year, had a really good... He was brilliant at Parma. But I don't know if he put on so much weight. He retired at the age of 28 to sell vacuum cleaners. And that's a true story. Like,
yeah,
he's now worth... like, his company's worth millions.
He's a professional poker player as well, isn't he, apparently?
He kind of fell out of love with the game, you reckon? So he was, in 1995, he was the most expensive foreign player bought in the Premier League. Anyway, so he makes the flop 11. Alongside Paulo Futre, spoke about.
We've got a story about him, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a story about Paulo Futre. So when he signed, they gave him he was handed a number 16 shirt. And he said, whoa, like Paulo Futre, no, number 10. Yeah, and they was like, no, that's John Moncur's number. And he was like, well, no, he's like, Pele, 10, Eusebio, 10, Futre, 10. He was like, no, you're 16. Yeah, and so he got his lawyers involved. Yeah, he tried to write in his contract. Obviously, he rang up John Moncur, and he must have said, obviously, in his Portuguese accent, hey, John, can I have your number 10? Can I have your number 10 shirt, please? And John was like, what? No. He went, right, well, listen, how about I give you 2 weeks in my villa in the Algarve? And John Moncur said, yeah, all right, no worries, you can have it. My other flop is, I've gone for Dumitrescu. We spoke about being a flop or not, but like Graham said, they got to like the quarterfinals.
USA 94, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he signed for like 2.6 million from Sturbrook Arrest. And like I said, Romania got to the quarterfinals at the USA 94, but he never really done it for Spurs. Let's say he was loaned out to Seville before signing for Harry Redknapp at West Ham, but playing only 10 games. And then he just left. So
yeah, I forgot he went there, Lee.
He's made the... Well, I could have had a hat full of strikers in this flop 11. There is so many to choose. I've gone for my first one. I've gone for Andrea Selenzi.
Yeah.
Andrea Selenzi.
Forest.
Yeah, he signed for Nottingham Forest.
Wasn't he the first Italian to play in the Premier League?
First Italian to play in the Premier League.
That's yeah.
Great. And like you said, like within 5 years, we had players like De Canio, Carboni, Zola, Ravanelli, Vialli. But yeah, he was first Italian. And he came off... He had pretty good record, like, in Italy. I think he was, like, top goal scorer. And I think like the AC Milan, they wanted to keep him. They said, oh, this, that and the other, but he made like 12 league appearances, not one goal. He scored two in the cup. And that was it. Literally, that was him gone. Marco Bugas, West Ham, again.
They bought
pretty a lot. Apparently, I don't know if you don't know this, but Harry Redknapp bought him watching a video of him. That was
quite common back in the day, I think.
Yeah. Conchelski, it's the same, Paul, at United. Yeah. Didn't Fergie watch him on VHS?
Yeah, that was how the scouting network was. I think you people got videos of people and showing to the manager. And Redknapp, I think, was just a bit of a, you know, that's why the Wheeler did it. I think he just...
Gambler, yeah.
My last striker in this, I've gone for Adi Akinbayi. So I know, like, he did play in 2000s, but he also, I've looked through his career. Well, he signed for Leicester. He put fees up to like over £11.5 million. He was Norwich at the beginning of his career. His goal ratio was awful. And for someone to like rack up that amount of transfer fees, in my eyes, does go down as a flop, even though we did say a flop.
Word. Yeah, very good agent, Lee, probably, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, well, this is it, obviously.
Well, he had over 500 games and scored 136 goals. Lower league, he scored quite a few for like Gillingham and Bristol Rovers, and even Wolves did all right. But I think after that, I think his problem was he made the step up to Leicester, then to Palace, Stoke. And they went back to Burnley, back in the lower leagues, and he started hitting goals again. I think that was more, yes, he was a flop, but I think, again, it goes back to some players just find their level. You know, Robert Earnshaw at Cardiff years ago, David Graham used to wax lyrical about him. He's amazing. He got in the Premier League.
How wrong was I?
Oh, my God. He was like, oh, if this boy gets the Premier League, he's going to be shit hot. And he was shit.
He was, yeah.
Well, thanks for your 11 there, Lee.
I want to ask you guys, during the 90s, we've talked about flops. I want to know what players you'd have liked seen to play in the Premier League during that era. I mean, I'm going to start, to be honest, and to keep it brief. I mean, there's the obvious ones, aren't there? You know, your Batistutas, your Del Pieros, Hadji, Stoichkov, Romario. Yes, we'd all love to see them. But there's a player, I don't know what you guys think. I'd like to know your opinion on it. There's a player that played outside the Premier League. He was quite, I wouldn't say he was a regular, but I think he got into double figures with England. He was scoring at the top level, not the top. Say that again, Dave. He was scoring in the first division, which had been the second tier, but he never got the chance in the Premier League. That was Steve Ball. I'd like to see what he could have done in the Premier League, whether it be a season or two. He was really prolific in the first division. He was getting called up for England by Taylor and Robson while playing in the first division. I mean, Bobby Robson's no mug, is he? Graham Taylor, God rest his soul, probably was, but. Yeah, I'd have liked to see Steve Ball in the Premier League. What do you think? Do you think he would have... I think he would have scored because he was prolific, but I don't know about the numbers. But I would have liked to see Steve Ball, aside from, you know, your top stars. Like, but what do you guys think about Steve Ball? And then who would you have liked to see playing in the 90s, like in the Premier League, guys?
I like the Steve Ball shout. I think, you know, you can't say he wouldn't have done it and when Jamie Vardy come through every division and made his way up.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So... I agree with that. Yeah, he was that type of striker for that era as well. He was a big lad, wasn't he? Powerful. I don't understand why no one snapped him up. The Wolves got a stand named after him now, have they?
Yeah, they have.
So he's like a god there, isn't he?
He's got 18 hat tricks for
how many?
18.
That's a lot, isn't it?
You can't tell me that some of the teams that at the bottom of the floating around the bottom of the Premiership at that time couldn't have done with a Steve Ball.
I think I might have mentioned it on one of the other podcasts before, but this is what makes me think. Like, I think it might have been even Batistuta. We might have been talking about him, but why has no one signed him? Why has no one gambled on him? Like, why? Like, it makes you to think. Like, I don't know there could have been an injury that no one ever knew about, yeah. And he was afraid to take the gamble. I don't know.
I also think he liked playing at Wolves.
That could have been as simple as that, Paul, couldn't it?
I think that's, yeah, I think you bear in mind, that's a different age back then. You had players, you know, use the TCA, you said, but I think he was known to be a Wolves fan and enjoyed the club and he was looked after and that was enough. Yeah. He was content. I don't know, I can't speak for him because obviously I don't know whether or not that's the case, but we always get very familiar with saying, oh, but they should have moved. But we're just talking about flops and all those people that are flops are people that moved. You know, sometimes if everyone goes about Letizia this, Letizia that, he could have gone to Man United. Steve Ball could have gone to a Chelsea and been
David Hurst.
David Hurst could have gone to somewhere else. So sometimes it's not always, you know, the grass isn't always greener. You don't see it because we're not at that level. But I think the step up from Championship to the Premier League, although people might say it's like different now, there's such a gulf of quality and speed. I don't know. It's very, very difficult. He would probably know that, but that's about it. Anyone else got anyone they would all similar kind of player?
Yeah, I was going to say. So, what about your guy? What players would you like to see in the Premier League in the 90s? And what about your clubs as well? I mean, Lee, who would you like to see at QPR from abroad or not even from abroad, from Scotland or Europe? You know,
I was going to mention one player that I would love to have seen in the Premier League, and he was actually linked with Queen's Park Rangers, who is Roberto Baggio.
Yeah. Good shout that.
I just think in the 90s, he was just an amazing player, like, and I don't know how QPR have been linked with him, by the way. Like, there must have been some dodgy dealings on the ball or something, man. But
what was that? when they were QPR in the Premier League?
I'm not even sure when, but we've definitely meant like we've definitely linked with him.
Someone probably spoke about that in the Smuts, and all of a sudden it's made.
Can you explain what the Smuts is, Dave, in case the listeners don't know?
It's an unbelievable pub. It was the best place you could ever want to go in your life. no, really, it was an absolute shithole, sticky carpet pub. But yeah, that's where William Rumours came from for sure.
Yeah, so no, yeah, going back to Badger, he was definitely one that I would like to sign.
Dave?
There's many players that you could say, like, after players we've mentioned over this podcast. I'm going to throw a little bit of a wild card and throw out a defender. I'd like your Maldini. I'd love to have seen Maldini have a go in the Premier League. He's an all-time great. I'd love to have seen him. The only team that could have signed him in the 90s at any chance would have been United anyway.
So I agree with that, Dave.
Yeah. Maldini, United. That sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It just sounds like it works, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Even they would have been the only team that could afford his wages or anything like that. And he would have. I think he goes anywhere, he performs. There's no chance in hell that he doesn't. He was unbelievable. I'd love to have seen him in the Premier League. He was brilliant.
That means, Paul, you'd have had to drop Dennis Irwin to put him in. You'd be happy with that.
No, they could have put him in his best position, right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, you said Maldini. You could go with Cannavaro, Nesta.
Mm. Great players.
You know, how good would they have been in the Premier League is another question. When it was, back in the 90s, bear in mind, it was still Duncan Ferguson, and it was a hard league to play in, and it was a physical league to play in. I'm not saying Italy wasn't, but Italy was always known back then was a very slow pace, very methodical, very tactical, you know, how to defend. I would like to have seen someone like Cannavaro come to England. But and again, I think they would have adapted. I think those players are just that good. They would have been fantastic. But for me, it would have been Del Piero. I would love to have seen Del Piero at United.
Del Piero behind Colin York, Paul, off the shoulder. That would have been some triangle, wouldn't it, that?
Yeah.
Where would you have fitted him in when you got Colin York on fire?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if he came to the United, someone would have been dropped. I don't know who it would have been. I don't know if York and Cole would have... I don't know if we would have signed York.
I'll tell you where he would have fitted him well. Behind Van Nistelrooy.
Sorry, pitting him behind or not pitting him behind?
No, putting him in the 10 behind Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah.
That would have been unreal.
So, same format as last week. So, you've got to tell me who I've got written down with the three clues I give you, okay?
Wait, hang on. Before we carry on, can I just announce that I was the winner last week, by the way, and it never got spoken about. So, it was never announced who won it. So, yeah, if you want to give me a round of applause, then all for it.
Yeah. So. Right, Paul. Bolton, South African defender.
Mark Fish.
Mark Fish, well done. Who wants
easy.
To go next?
I'll go.
Right, someone's going. Paul, Lee, Dave. Right, Lee. Sunderland, English striker.
Kevin Phillips.
Kevin Phillips, well done. Dave, Arsenal, Croatian striker.
Davor Suka.
Flop.
Davor Suka, yep. Paul, Middlesbrough, Brazilian midfielder.
Emerson.
Well done. I thought he was going to say Janinho. Emerson. Lee, West Ham, Australian midfielder.
Brett Emerton.
Stan Lazaridis.
Stan Lazaridis.
Do I get a point?
No.
I think you've been a judge of that. Right, Dave, Liverpool, Israeli midfielder.
Shy back. It's not Berkovic, is it?
No,
incorrect. No, it's not.
Oh,
Ronnie Rosenthal. Hey, I would have got that one.
Paul, Blackburn, Swedish striker.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, I know this one, Paul.
Martin Olsen.
Martin, correct.
Martin Darlene. Lee?
Yeah.
Liverpool, Czech midfielder.
Smitha.
Incorrect.
Berger.
Patrick Berger.
All the time, man.
I'll tell you what, I wish Miller was here now because he'd be roasting me. Listen to this one. Dave, Arsenal, Austrian goalkeeper.
Alex Manninger. Boom.
Paul, Norwich, Scottish goalkeeper.
I'd have 5 out of 5. I'd fucking miss
Premier League. Early
Brian Gunn. Brian Gunn.
Well done. Brian Gunn. Lee.
Yep.
Nottingham Forest, Dutch striker.
I see what I mean, man. This is bullshit, man. I'm going to go. Brian Roy.
Well done. It's Brian Roy. Dave. Crystal Palace, Italian midfielder.
Matteo Lombardo.
Matteo Lombardo, it is. Paul. Chelsea, Dutch goalkeeper.
Ed De Hoy.
Ed De Hoy, well done. Lee, Crystal Palace, Welsh defender.
Chris Coleman.
Chris Coleman, yep. Dave, Bolton, Yugoslavian midfielder.
I don't know.
Went to Palace. That's a went to Palace. I gave Paul a clue. Went to Palace.
I know this one.
I don't know.
Sasha Cilic.
Who? Sasha who?
Cilic.
Incorrect. Sasha Turcic.
Mm.
Really?
You're thinking the goalkeeper, aren't you?
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Tottenham Swiss defender.
Oh, no.
He was mentioned earlier.
Wait! No
clue. Oh, Vega. Roman Vega.
Oh, Lee?
Yeah.
Arsenal Swedish midfielder. Early years. That's your clue.
Limpa.
Who?
Limpa.
Well done. Anders
Limpa. First name. First name.
Oh, Anders. Come on.
Yeah. Right. No more clues.
Dave?
QPR Welsh defender.
I know this one.
Yeah. Oh, I don't.
Hair, man. Got long hair, Dave. Unlike you, bro.
Aaron Peacock.
No. Carl Reddy.
Yeah. That's liberties. You give me that moody clue.
Paul, Man City Georgian midfielder.
Oh, what's his name? No,
can't keep saying no and then going back.
Oh, Kinclancy.
Oh,
my God. How
long
has he won?
I know. It's bad. Well, from now on, it's got to be 5 seconds max. Come on.
You keep saying
right,
no, okay. Then he comes out the answer.
Because that's the thing. It's my process. I'm thinking, no.
Well, don't say no, then.
Right, sorry.
Yeah, don't say no. That's it. Right, Lee. Southampton, Latvian striker.
Marijan Pahars.
Marijan Pahars, yeah.
Oh, go on, Lee.
Dave, West Ham, Czech goalkeeper.
Play for QPR, Dave.
Shut
Jan
up.
Stajska.
Who?
Jan Stajska.
No, not quite. Ludo Moklasko.
Fuck that.
Paul, Sheffield Wednesday, Romanian defender.
No, no. Oh,
no, it's too late. You said it. Anyone
Dan Petrescu.
It is Dan Petrescu. Lee, West Ham, Marley striker.
Titi Kamara.
Incorrect. Freddy Canute.
Was he not French?
Marley, play for Marley.
Yeah, he played for Marley.
Double check it on Google. You've got it in front of you.
No.
Dave, Derby, Croatian midfielder.
Ilic.
Igor Stimac.
That's what I said. Backwards.
Well, bloody hell. Yeah. Paul, Man United, Norwegian striker.
Erik Nevland.
Yeah, he's got it. I'm just going to go Solskjaer. Lee? Aston Villa, Yugoslavian striker.
Savo Milosevic.
Savo Milosevic. Dave, Ipswich, Canadian goalkeeper.
I've had a rattle stinker of questions this week.
you had money, to be fair.
I don't know.
Craig Forrest.
No. That's the toughest one so far.
Right. Paul, Everton, Russian midfielder. You might kick yourself with this. He's not going to say no, is he?
I know it is, but I can't think of his name. So I'm going to have to hand it over.
Oh. Andrei Kanchelskis.
Oh, that's a curveball one, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lee, Chelsea, French defender.
Frank Leboeuf.
Frank Leboeuf, well done.
What? You
Dave, Coventry, American midfielder.
John Aloisi.
No, midfielder.
You can't have another guess.
No, I know, yeah. He's
Kobe wrong. Jones.
Kobe Jones. So I've got two left now. So,
it's 7-7, me and Paul.
Paul, Bolton, Scottish striker.
John McGinley.
Well done.
Damn
John
it.
McGinley. Right, here we go now. Lee, Liverpool, English striker.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Robbie Fowler.
John Barnes.
John Barnes.
I think Paul's won this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he's done me.
I couldn't make it too obvious as Robbie Fowler and Collymore, could I?
Oh, that's the quiz, that. Okay, guys, so that's it. That's the end of season one. And we said we'll try and get to 12. Should we do some more? What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. We should finish at the late 90s and go into the early noughties and start talking about the so-called golden generation when they started coming into the Premier League and into the England squad.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think we've done quite a varied season. We've had some Scottish football. We've done some Italian football. We've done some England. We've covered quite a lot of the stuff in the 90s. There's a lot more to go, but I think we can start. My knowledge definitely starts getting a bit better again in the early noughties. And I think there's a lot of subjects that we've done in season one that we can do in season two relating to the noughties as well. But yeah, guys, I've really enjoyed it. We've started off with about 18 listeners and we've got over 100 now per week, which is amazing. We've only been going it for, 10, 12 weeks. And we've got some exciting announcements to make in terms of some guests. So what we're going to do, guys, this season's now done. Season one is in the can. That's all 12 episodes. Please go and visit on iTunes or Spotify and listen back to all the old stuff. We're going to have a couple of weeks off because it's Easter. And then we're going to hit you with 3 guest interviews, which will be Rule Fox, Robbie Musto and Phil Brown. And they will be released each week over the next couple of weeks. We sit down and speak to all 3 guests. And we talked about the 90s experiences and all other various subjects on with that. And then we'll come back with a season 2. Graham, have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, mate. Every episode I've enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to carrying on. It's weird as well because we're doing this every week. Each one of you, like, you see how you sort of view football. Like the last 10, 11 episodes, like Paul, I'm going to go through all of you now. Like Paul, you seem to focus on like the... not so much what's happening on the pitch, but like the financial side and the, you know, behind the scenes. You know, Holland, he's like the man in the pub. You can always have a chat with Dave. He's got like he talks a lot of common sense. And you've got Miller. I think he's just goes over my head sometimes. He's that clever when it comes to tactical speak. Sometimes I listen and think, wow, you know what you're talking about. I don't know if you know about me. I tend to focus on what footballers do with their feet more than anything else. And I think Lee, I think he's a bit of all of us together. That's what I find. So
what you're saying is I'm not sure if that of all of you. Yeah, is that what you're saying? I'm
if
happy.
What if you like, but
I've got a bit of everything, but I'll deal with that. But listen, wait, stay tuned. Next season coming.
And for me, because I've had in my notice him because it's been such a success. I need to carry on. Otherwise, I'm going to be on the rock and roll down the job centre. So please come back, you lot. Otherwise, I'm going to be unemployed.
On that note, guys, thank you ever so much for listening. Please check out the old episodes. We're going to keep our Instagram and our Twitter active still throughout the next couple of weeks. We'll be promoting our Rule Fox episode, our Robbie Musto episode, and our Phil Brown episode. And we've got so many more guests up and coming. They've all been in contact with us, and they want to come on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I bid you a farewell from the Phoenix Five for season one.
Podcast Network.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work.
a great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.